Like 40 miles of bad road, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The only podcast with a lazy, lazy audience. And now, highly offended by jokes about crackers, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You may have heard Drew McMillan, my Canadian nephew, announce the beginning of Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, but just in case he wasn't there to do that today, let me tell you, you have tuned into the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I'm your Medicare expert, Doug Jones. Happy to be here again to share expertise and other interesting things with you. Assuming interesting things present themselves. I'm here all by myself today. New Year's Eve 2020 was our last recording session with Randy. And right around that time, he and his wife Margaret came down with the Wuhan flu, and it's taken quite some time for the recovery process to complete itself. In fact, Randy is still not 100%. I haven't talked to Margaret lately, so I don't know how she's feeling. I assume she's feeling better. But Randy has improved drastically, but has not improved 100%. And so he doesn't feel it's time for him yet to participate in the on-mic episodes of our podcast. So frankly, he is, as he gathers energy, going to be working behind the scenes to do his normal engineering magic so that these things sound more professional and perhaps slightly more entertaining. So in the meantime, I'm here all by myself, and I'm in my fortress of solitude in Cave Creek, Arizona, where it is sunny. Not really warm, it's in the 60s today, but it's sunny and beautiful outside. Arizona's always beautiful. My neighbor across the street has been emptying his stuff out of his garage. His stuff includes a 33 Ford Roadster that's got a big block Chevy engine in it and an automatic transmission. His 1956 Ford Sunliner is also out with the top down. That has a, I think it's a 312. It might be a 292, but I think he's got a 312 in that Sunliner. And it is white and peach colored. There's a name for that color. I don't remember what it is. My very first car that I bought back in 1967 for $75 was the same car, except it wasn't a convertible. That was a 1956 Ford Fairlane, and that $75 bought me a 312, a three-speed on the column, and a whole lot of rust. I drove that thing around for several months until I had two accidents and one weekend with it. Pretty much took it off the road forever. However, this car of my neighbor's across the street is a magnificently restored example of the 56 Ford Sunliner, and he purchased it from the estate of Clive Cussler. Well, actually, the collection. Clive Cussler was alive when he purchased this car. And later on, Clive died, having left a legacy of fine automobiles and excellent books. I've never read a Clive Cussler book, but I'm told by people who have that they're excellent, excellent books. So I've got to put that on my list of things to do one day. So in a second, you're going to hear the my neighbor's 33 Ford Roadster fire up and probably drive by to return to his garage across the street. He's been out taking pictures of his Harley because he intends to sell it. So he had to move all the cars to get the bike out. And now he is driving that Roadster into his driveway. But it has a really wide turning radius for some reason. So a lot of times you have to do a couple of three-point turns to get it pointed in the direction you want it to go. But it's a beautiful car, magnificent car otherwise. In fact, some guy flew out from the East Coast and wanted to buy it, and then changed his mind at the last minute. So I don't know, but there is a market for cars of that magnitude, and he does want to sell that 33 Roadster if he gets the right price for it. So anyway, we were going to talk about Medicare, weren't we? Isn't that why we're here? No Randy, because he's recovering. He'll be back at some point. He may have found the energy to do the engineering work on this particular episode, but if not, then he will probably post it or publish it or drop it in its completely raw form, the form in which I am leaving it on the recorder. So we're going to see. Oh, there goes, he started up the Roadster again, I think to reposition it inside the garage. Busy day here. My garage has no motorcycle in it. My motorcycle is back in Illinois, where the snow is like 8 feet deep and the temperatures are below zero lately. But my two cars in my garage are a 65 Corvette and a 67 GTO. The 67 GTO has a 400 and a 700 R4 overdrive transmission. The 65 Corvette has a 350, excuse me, and a, a Tremec TKO 600 overdrive 5-speed. And it is right now being prepared for fuel injection. And also I replaced all the brake parts. So all it's waiting for is to have its brakes bled. So these things are what we do in Arizona when we're not partying and having fun and ignoring the shutdown restrictions that other states have to deal with. But anyway, I was going to read some Medicare mailbag items because that's the easiest thing to do. And frankly, the mailbag has been filling up over the last few months. I mean, it's been almost 2 months since Randy was able to contribute to this, so our recording schedule dropped down to zero in January. And then as Randy gained strength and started on the road to recovery, we started doing 2 episodes a week with the episodes that we had banked. But now those episodes are gone, and I am reduced to being your sole host, your sole entertainment, or the sole host of this podcast until Randy is able to participate. He talked about doing that sometime this week. I don't know if he'll be ready or not, so I want to be prepared with some new episodes. Alrighty, if you did not hear my coughing and my swilling of Coca-Cola, then that means that what I just did worked. There is a cough button on this thing, and I just figured out how to use it. So, let's do some mailbag items, shall we? I can get rid of some stuff, do a little desk cleaning after I finish with these. Starting with a woman named Marjorie. Marjorie's got a last name that I'm not going to tell you, but she basically lives in the South. She's got a last name that's famous in Texas, and it's famous in a movie title. It's kind of a Western or Southern twist. But anyway, Marjorie wrote me. She actually went to the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and filled out a questionnaire. This was back in October of 2020. So she said, I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and she doesn't smoke, and she answered all the easy questions on the questionnaire and indicated, well, she didn't really indicate what she was interested in. So I took her address from the questionnaire, and I sent her an email, and I said, hello, her last name. From your questionnaire, I gathered that you're looking for a Medicare supplement to begin January 1st to coincide with the termination of your existing health insurance. Am I anywhere close to correct? If so, it would be helpful for you to tell me a little bit more about your current situation and the source of your current coverage. For instance, are you actively employed? Are you planning to retire as of December 31st? Have you thought about exactly what you're looking for in the way of Medicare supplements? And the more I know about you and your plans, the better my recommendations will be. Looking forward to hearing more from you. Doug Jones. She responded, "Doug, I never expected an email. Thank you. I forwarded to my work email so I can answer easier. I'm investigating Medicare supplements to begin January 1st for myself and partially for my husband. My birth date is May 30th, 1953. My thoughts are to semi-retire on December 31st. I currently have a health plan provided by my employer, paid in full. Currently, I'm healthy, except for type 2 diabetics. This is under control with gulp, weight loss, and a very expensive pill. My insurance co-pays make it $35 per month for that expensive pill. I'm interested in a Medicare supplement that won't break the bank so that I won't have to go back to work full-time just to afford it, and a drug plan that would cover this one prescription. My December 31st day is not set in stone. I could extend it easily." And so then I responded, "I think you have come to the right place. I don't know whether you have read my book or need an explanation of my typical recommendations for people who are not medically infirm or financially destitute. The short version is that I generally recommend plans that are least expensive but pack a lot of protection. If you agree with my recommendation for a high-deductible Medicare supplement, I would suggest the HDF from United American. This plan would cost you $25 a month. I represent several A-plus insurance companies that offer Medicare supplements, but that plan is the least expensive and offers the most bang for your bucks, that I can find anyway. If you would like more detail, I would be happy to spend whatever time is necessary to help you understand your options. To determine the most cost-effective drug plan, I went to the government plan finder, entered the drug, and selected the default dosage, 10 milligram tablet once per day. Then I picked the first drugstore that came up, a CVS, I think, and wound up with the following results. The least expensive of the 32 available drug plans in your area would result in an average monthly expenditure of about $125. There are differences in your dosage and where you have prescriptions filled that might affect the total annual cost, but probably not by very much. That is a bare bones outline of what I have found. I will be happy to share any additional details and answer any questions you may have." So Marjorie wrote back to me, "Thank you, Doug, for your response. I have read your book, and my husband and I both qualify as lazy men. I'll digest all you have told me and we'll decide quickly. You have been more helpful than you will know. Thanks again, Marjorie." So then, after some period of time had gone by, I had to prod her a little bit because I hadn't heard from her. And I said, "I became concerned that my messages were not reaching you." And she responded, "Well, I just received 3 or 4, maybe all about the same time. I'm still working through all this and doing a work audit. Hope to have some decision this week. Thanks for checking in." And that's the last I ever heard of Marjorie. I think her decision was not to have anything more to do with me. And she wouldn't be the first. That'll be, she can stand in line and there will have been a whole bunch of other people in front of her. Now, I am fortunate that I have many, many clientele or clients that comprise my clientele, but she is not one of them. And then I had contact with a woman named Sherry. Now, Sherry lives in Pennsylvania, and she filled out a questionnaire from the website. And in that questionnaire, she, unlike Marjorie, was very verbose and very forthcoming about what she wants and what she expects. In her comment section, she says, "I would like a rate quote for my husband as well. Non-smoker, born on such and such a date. We're currently covered on my husband's group health plans. We have been covered by this plan for over 20 years. On May 31st, he received a separation package due to COVID, which included health coverage through May 31st, 2021. So that is, that sounds like COBRA coverage to me. Anyway, we have been informed by Medicare that we must take Medicare coverage by January 1st or incur the penalties, even though we have coverage and my husband will be going back to work with health coverage offered. Doesn't seem to make sense, but we had not investigated Medicare since he was planning to work for another 4 years. My only question is generated by page 56 of your book, Bad News. Does this mean no matter what type of supplement we choose now, if our health deteriorates, we may not be able to change? Also, it is most likely we will be moving to Florida in the fall of 2021. How does this relocation impact us as it pertains to our primary selection of coverage? Thank you for your most informative book. I look forward to hearing from you. So then I said, hello, Mrs. Whatchamacallit. First of all, the best deal for high-end or high-deductible plan F I have is $35 a month for you and $40 for your husband. These rates are with the A-plus rated United American. The unique thing about United American is that at the 2-year anniversary, you would have the right to change to any other plan they offer, no matter what the state of your health. I would bet money that you will have become quite comfortable with your high deductible plan by then. Second, I'm not at all sure that you received accurate information from the Social Security Administration. There should be an 8-month period before the danger of late enrollment penalties sets in. If your husband resumes active employment with creditable coverage, my understanding is the clock should stop on that 8-month period. Before calling again, you may want to search the short articles at Medicare.gov. I searched Part B enrollment and then found pertinent material below the header that says Special Circumstances, parentheses, special enrollment periods, end parentheses. That's on the Medicare.gov website. Then I said, good luck, and please don't hesitate to contact me if I can be of additional help. And then, of course, I've got a P.S. in bold and underlined. I said, if you thought my book was helpful, it would be great to go back to the site where you got it and leave a short customer review. Future potential readers will thank you. I've got to get back to doing that. I have let people off the hook who have said they've enjoyed the book. I have not asked them to take that simple step that helps other readers find the book. So anyway, she wrote back to me and said, one more question regarding the previous email. Would we be able to add prescription drug coverage, Part D, to begin June 1st, 2021? And does the same apply for changing coverage during open enrollment with continued coverage from a previous source? We are pleasantly surprised at the cost of Plan F and certainly feel it is right for us. However, we do have a timing question, and I hope you may be able to answer. After repeated calls to Medicare with the same question, we find we must enroll in Plan B by January 1st, 2021, since my husband is no longer actively employed. And that the word actively is the operant word there. Even though he is receiving our health care benefits through May 31st of 2021. My question relates to the start of our Plan F. I'm confused regarding enrollment period. This is the scenario we are considering if it is allowed. Enroll in Plan B, Part B, she means, to begin coverage January 1st of 2021. Continue to utilize our company-provided coverage through May 31st, 2021, and then enroll in the high deductible Plan F with coverage beginning June 1st, 2021. Another question regarding coverage and rules in general. My husband's employment was terminated due to COVID. He had expected to work for several more years and plans to re-enter the workforce. Should he again receive health coverage for both of us, can we utilize that coverage, and does the clock start again, so to speak? Also, should we decide after enrolling in the high deductible Plan F that it isn't right for us, is it correct to understand that plans can be changed during the annual open enrollment period without health questions as long as you are able to provide proof of continuous coverage? Thank you for all you do to help with this confusing government program. We both feel rather silly in our lack of ability to comprehend these policies, but there just seems to be way too much confusing, contradictory information. I actually worked in healthcare and still find the bureaucratic end of this perplexing. So here's my response to her, because she had some some mistakes. She had some misunderstandings in her series of questions. I said, I am disturbed by the fact that your situation does not lend itself to easy solutions, and also that you cannot get consistent, reliable information and instructions when you speak to government experts. Apparently, the best course of action for you and Mr. Whatchamacallit can be interpreted in more than one way. And my goal would always be to take the most conservative route. The goals would be to make sure that you have insurance protection at all times, and two, avoid incurring a lifetime late enrollment penalty, and three, don't risk missing a deadline and losing your guaranteed issue rights to medical and drug coverage. My personal thought is that you should enroll in a drug plan as soon as possible to be effective November 1st of 2020, because you have been without credible coverage since June 1st. This exceeds the 63-day period imposed by Part D rules and may subject you to a small late enrollment penalty. You can either follow the steps in my book, Chapter 9, or give me a complete list of your meds, dosages, frequency, and the way you fill prescriptions. That would include addresses of drugstores or whether you use mail order. A drug plan that starts during 2020 will continue into 2021 with no action required on your part. But since the plan may change cost or coverage, it's wise to check the protection for the following year to ensure there will be no unpleasant surprises. The relationship between Medicare Part B and your continuation coverage can also be very confusing. You have repeatedly tried to get clarification from the government Medicare experts at SSA, and so it may be time to find a different source of information. One of those might be your husband's HR department or insurance company. Another might be SHIP. That stands for State Health Insurance Program, which has a source in each state. In Pennsylvania, the telephone number is blah, blah, blah. Your planned course of action seems to comport with the general rules of employment that enrollment that I'm aware of. A person leaving active employment generally has 8 months to enroll in a Medicare Part B without negative consequence, and then another 6 months to enroll in a Medicare supplement without proof of good health. However, there might be nuances in your particular situation that would cause problems if serious illness or injury should occur. I want an expert to confirm that your plan is a sound one. Please let me know what you find out. Well, that was it for my correspondence with Sherry. Never did hear from her about what she found out or what plans they had to comply with in order to maintain the coverage. But she did ask a question I neglected to answer for her. And that question was, is there an annual open enrollment period for Medicare supplement plans? No, there is not. The open enrollment that you hear about every year is for Medicare Advantage plans and for prescription drug plans. It is not for Medicare supplement plans. Once you have a Medicare supplement plan, hopefully you've chosen carefully, and you will find that it will serve you well for years and years and years. If you ever want to change for some reason, either change plans or change companies, in most cases, you're going to have to fill out a health questionnaire that will tell the new insurance company or the insurance company that has the plan you want to change to, that it is that you are in good health. If you're not in good health, then in most states and at most times, your opportunity will not exist to get a different Medicare supplement plan. This is why I always recommend the high deductible Medicare supplement plans, because their cost is very minimal, their downside risk is very minimal, and the need to change is not going to arise because, frankly, when you get a rate increase on a premium that's very small, it's only a couple of bucks, so that's not going to disturb you that much. It operates like all other Medicare supplement high deductible plan Gs. You can go to any doctor that takes Medicare patients, and there is no reason that you would ever be turned away just because of the company that you have. Doctors understand that it works like a well-oiled machine. So you don't have any medical provider network to worry about. You don't have to pick up a book. All you do is decide what doctor you want to approach, call their office, make an appointment, tell them you have Medicare, and then they won't care if you have a Medicare supplement. It won't even come up. You just hand them your card along with your Medicare card, and that's all it takes. But I didn't explain all of that to Sherry, and I haven't heard from her again. Maybe she listens to the podcast, and I'll get a report. I'd like to hear what she found out. The problem that she had was that her husband was laid off. He was not actively employed, and that changes the definition of the insurance coverage that her husband's employer was providing for them. It made it not count as creditable coverage. It made it more like COBRA coverage or retiree Medicare coverage. And those two allow the clock to run on an eventual late enrollment penalty. And you don't want to have a late enrollment penalty because you will pay that every month the rest of your life. Even if it's a small penalty and you live for a long time, it's going to add up to some kind of expense that most people would like to avoid. So anyway, that is our episode for today. I'm sorry to leave you now, but I'll be back soon. I'm going to send this episode through the wires over to Randy. And if he is feeling perky enough, he will post it along with all of the accoutrement that we add to an episode, the wrappings, as it were, including Drew McMillan, whatever smart guy remark he's got today, you'll be able to hear. If Randy isn't feeling all that perky, then you're likely just to hear this episode in all of its raw glory without any window dressing at all. But one way or the other, we're going to be back in the future, near future or far future. We'll be back on our 3-episode-a-week schedule, and we'll be throwing more Medicare knowledge at you than you've ever wanted to hear in your whole life. So this is Doug Jones signing off. It's late February. The sun is shining in Arizona. The temperature could be warmer, but it's not bad. We're doing better than almost any other state in the union right now, and I'll look forward to seeing you real soon. Thank you so much. Oh, by the way, the Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021 version is out. And I've got to tell you this. As always, we have the Kindle version. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021 is the Kindle version. If you search for Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021, it might get confused because the official title of the book is now Medicare for the Lazy Man. The 2021 just appears on the front cover of the book. It is not part of the title that you would search for. Now, we also have the paperback. And because I added more pages to deal with a few more situations and interesting content, the paperback cost went up to $14 this year. Now, I started thinking about that, and I thought, that's not really the kind of value that I like to provide. I'm making a couple of bucks on the thing, but I want people to perceive that they've gotten their money's worth. So what I did was I went back and republished the book in black and white. So now we have the black and white paperback version of Medicare for the Lazy Man. It has a red 2021 on the cover, but when you open it up, it's black and white. But here's how you can tell the difference. It's really inexpensive. It costs $8. That's the retail price. And who knows, if it sells well enough, then Amazon will probably discount it below, you know, somewhere down to $7 and change, I would guess. So if you want to save a few bucks, get the same wonderful information, just not have as many dazzling colors inside the book, then by all means, buy the $8 black and white version of the paperback Medicare for the Lazy Man. Someday soon, the audiobook will be coming. I can't tell you how long it's going to take them. It's been, it was submitted to them for approval on January 21st, and it generally takes them something on the order of 6 weeks to get around to approving it and putting it on sale. So I would like to think that we're more than halfway through that 6-week period, and you're going to hear my dulcet tones coming through as an audio book that you can pay for, and I don't think those are very expensive. So In any event, send me an email if you like at Medicare for the DBJ, my initials, DBJ at Medicare for the Lazy Man, or in this case, it's MLM mailbag.com. So once again, send me your emails at DBJ at MLM mailbag.com, and I shall respond promptly. I think that's all the stuff I want to talk about today. If there's more, I'll do it in another episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Looking forward to speaking with you again. Ta-ta.